Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you here from the Deerfoot Inn and Casino. It's the 18th annual Calgary Flames Ambassadors Celebrity Poker Tournament. And let's say hello to the head coach of the Calgary Flames. Ryan Huska is with us. Huska, are you playing this year?
I'm playing.
You didn't play last year, did you?
I did last year.
Okay, Rita's out early.
Yep.
Okay.
Which is usually the case for me, but actually, since I lost my jersey, I've been pretty good.
Okay.
I've had a run of good cards here over the last little while.
We were wondering the so-called poker face.
Yeah.
For a guy who knows when his team allows a goal, he's on TV in that next moment. Like, do the two dovetail? Do they go hand in hand at all?
No, they don't.
No.
Unfortunately, they don't. And because I'm such a poor player, I tell the table, like, hey, if I put a lot of money in, you should probably do the same because you're going to win. So it does not dovetail.
It's funny. It's one of the things that you just know is going to happen. Goal scored. Opposing team coach every time. Yeah. This doesn't matter what.
And I don't know why. Put it on the team that scores the goal. That coach is going to be happier.
Nobody wants to see the fist bump line anymore. Show me the angry coach.
Yeah, it doesn't make for good TV, I guess, right?
All it is now is guys looking down.
Especially when you're looking down at the iPad.
I know, and I think that's maybe one of the worst things that's going on right now because, we all do it. But who wants to see a bald head, really? You know?
Yeah. How are you feeling about your group right now as you come off that game Saturday in Winnipeg? You close out the road trip with a win. You're home for a little bit now and even gave them an extra couple days of rest. How are you feeling about the vibe of your group right now?
I feel good about it. I mean, I have all year. It hasn't really changed from the start of the year with the way our team has played. I think they've been competitive every night, which is maybe the number one thing we ask of them. I think they play as a team almost every night, which is the number two thing we ask of them. I really do think they enjoy being around each other, and that's why, you know, we're in a lot of games so far this year, and we're finding a way to get wins when probably a lot of people didn't think we would in this situation. But you don't often get 4 days off like we have right now at this time of the season, especially with the long Christmas break we had, the Four Nations that's coming up. So we're busy, and I felt like with this stretch, giving them 2 days would probably be in the best interest of making sure that our players are as rested as they can possibly be. And I think they appreciate it. We had a good skate today, and we'll make sure we have another good one tomorrow.
You went 5-8. I think you had two instances on that trip where you're playing a 3-4. You get 4 days, and then you're right back into a 3-4. Like this schedule, and I know that everybody goes through it, and schedules are difficult over 82 games, but feels like there have been some real challenges with the schedule this year.
This year does seem like it's a little bit worse, whether it's changing the time zones. You think sometimes just an hour, it's no big deal, but if you're doing three of them, it wears on the players. And at the end of the day, I feel like part of our staff's job is to make sure the guys are one in the best mindset they can be in, but physically they have to be there too, because if they're not rested or energized, that's when bad things often happen, whether it's on the ice or you run into some injury problems, which, knock on wood, we don't want any more of this year.
You sat down with the two of us after the season last year and kind of were give a pretty honest recap of the year and even an honest recap of your first year as an NHL head coach. And one of the things you said was, maybe you didn't give enough credit to how long it might take for the group to learn some new defensive details and get comfortable with some of the things you were trying to do. Well, this year you didn't have that, and it felt like right from the get-go, just before you sat down, Wes was talking about night one in Vancouver, and it felt like right from the get-go there was an identity for this group. A, did you feel that? And if so, B, how important has that been to what you've done now for more than half a season?
Yes, I do. I do feel like we do have an identity now, and I don't necessarily think we had that last year, and whether that's because of all the stuff that went on last year, I can say that. I hope all the drama keeps going on in Vancouver. Like, let's let them have that stuff, because we went through it last year, and it's hard on players. It's hard on everybody around the team. But I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry on the question. I got just sidetracked a little bit.
How important has that identity been to your success this year?
It's maybe the biggest reason why we have had success, because I think the players fully understand who they are and how they have to play in order to be in a position to win hockey games. And the best part for me this year is after a game, if we don't quite play to it, it's not me having to tell them that. There's some nights where I'll think, I'm going to say something tonight because I don't think we are where we needed to be. And as I'm walking to the room, I'll hear some of the older guys having the conversation, so I just turn around and walk the other way. And that, to me, is a real good sign that the players are committed to doing what we have to do to be successful. And I love that about our leadership group. I feel like they've really grabbed hold of it, and I think they're a real huge reason as to why we're sitting where we are right now.
I've noticed anytime you ask about whether it's an individual player in that leadership group or just something happening, you always go back to those six guys and the group. I don't get the sense that that's lip service. I don't get the sense that you're just saying that for the sake of saying it. It really feels like they have kind of taken hold of this team as a collective.
Yeah, and they really have, and we lean on those guys all the time. And when you look at the way our team is right now, I think we have a really good mix of that veteran group of players that have been around, and some of them have got Stanley Cups, Cads, and Coles. Other guys have had ridiculously good experiences, and like Bax that's been here with the same team the whole time. But then we also have that younger group of player that needs an older guy that is going to show them the right way to do things, because if you don't have that, if the younger guys don't learn how to prepare the right way, to come to the rink every day and work hard, to make sure they're consistent in their approach, then you spin your wheels for a long period of time. So without the help and without the buy-in from those six guys, it's the spin the wheels, and you don't want to get into that. And I do feel like a coach can only do so much. There's a message that we have. There's a belief in how the team should play. We present it to the players, and at the end of the day, they're the ones that either have to say, yeah, we like this, or we want to tweak this some way along the line, and then we'll work with them. But they have been fully in right from day one.
I think you've probably touched on some of this, like with the example about walking to the room to talk to the guys and hearing the message already, but how does a coach maybe measure buy-in? Like, how can you tell buy-in is there?
For me, there's nights when you'll watch your team play and you can see that maybe we're not quite where we should be, but the work is still there and the team play is still there. The nights that scare me are when you look sluggish and there's an individual doing something over here, there's an individual doing something over there, and you don't often see that with this year's team. So I really think that they enjoy playing with each other. It's a big part of our success, and with that, I think they're able to hold each other accountable a little bit more often.
There have been so many good stories among guys that your team's called up from the Wranglers. Yeah. And that goes back to last fall with the immediate impact of Connor Zeri and Martin Pospisil. I guess nobody told Rory Cairns you're not supposed to be a point per game guy four games into your career, all that sort of thing. What's working development wise? What's working that's allowing the youngsters to have an immediate impact for your group?
Well, one, that's a great question. And I don't think we talk about it enough, to be quite honest with you. I think Craig and his staff do an excellent job of identifying the right type of people now, first and foremost. And then with the way Brad Pascal works with Ray Edwards and our development crew, the entire development crew, getting the messages to what we're looking for out of these players and where we think they can go, gets transferred to the coaches with the Wranglers the right way. So now they understand what we're hoping to get a player to, or where we're hoping to get him to. So the work that Brad Pascal and his team put in with these guys creates trust with our staff that when there is an issue or we need to bring someone up, whether it's just to give us a shot in the arm, like last year was Posp and Zeri, or this year based on injury needs, we know that if whoever we're going to call up is going to give us a good game, whether it's an older guy or whether it's a guy like Rory. And he's a great story. I really do love his story. I think it says so much about the young man and his commitment and belief and perseverance in himself to stay up and play. But I just, long story short, I think the way Brad Pascal kind of takes directive and work with Craig Conroy's image or picture of how he sees this organization running. I think they work really well together, and it's really helped in the development of our young players.
You could watch Rory Cairns and get the sense he's not too fussed about going to the AHL All-Star game.
No. You know, I love that. I know it's coming up, but that's the best part of what a young guy, when they come up, there's a different energy that's around, and they're wide-eyed, their ears are wide open, and they're taking everything in, and they're always going to play their very best. You know the energy that you're going to get from them. So I think that's why it's important that the guys with the Wranglers understand that, hey, we need the best guy in certain situations. If you're ready to go, we may just make a change because we need your energy and that new life around the room. So I think it gives them hope down there too, knowing that we are a team that's going to do that.
Ryan, one of the things that all of us in the media appreciate so much about you is you understand we're repeating questions sometimes, and so you've answered a lot
you
of
guys?
Questions about Dustin Wolf this season. But I am going to ask you again, if you just take like a big picture approach to Dustin's first full season in the NHL, what impresses you most?
Well, recency bias, I think, is bounce back ability. But I think if you're really to look at him as the player, he's got something in him, whether it's a prove you wrong attitude or I don't know what you would call it, but nothing seems to bother him. So we talked about that this morning at the Dome a little bit. Whether it's composure, whether it's unflappable, whether he knows how to bounce back after a tough night, he's, for a young guy, he's got that. And you don't often see that, especially in that position where, hey, you may let in a bad goal. It's going to happen. But for a younger guy, how do you handle that? And he went into Winnipeg the way he did, and he, in my opinion, had his best game of the year for us. So you see that out of a young goaltender. That's something you normally see out of a guy that's been there and done that for 10 years. So how he's able to kind of shift gears, keep himself composed, it's really remarkable for me. And I guess the other thing, when you look technically at his game, he thinks the game very well. So most times on an east-west pass or something that's setting up a one-timer for a guy, goalies slide and they're on their pads, they try to make the save that way. I can't tell you the number of times he beats the pass on his feet because he sees what's going on. He understands where that next play is before the play is made. And that, to me, you talks about hockey sense with goaltenders. Yeah. We talk about it with players all the time, but goaltenders also have that, and he's really high in that category.
I can't remember the game now, but I remember a guy fanned on one, and it actually beat him because Dustin beat the play to where he was supposed to be, and the whiff shot got past him because...
Yeah. I feel like that might have been the Ottawa game.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but, that sounds right.
Yeah, anyways. But, yeah, he's just a very intelligent player. He's very competitive. And, hey, if things don't go his way, hey, I got another 48 minutes to play in this game where nothing's getting by me. So I do really love that about him.
Wes asked you the question about, you know, why young players have been able to step in so well. You know, seeing the success almost immediately, whether it's Cairns now or Zary and Pospisil last year and Coronado this year has taken that big step. Does that change your philosophy as a coach? You know, maybe I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this, but you know, sometimes you always feel like, well, you know, you have guys that you trust, and you trust guys who have played 200 NHL games compared to zero NHL games. But seeing how many guys have stepped in, does that make it easier to trust younger players going forward in your eyes?
I don't really know how to answer that question. It's another good question. You guys are on today.
Once in a while, we try.
The blind squirrel line.
You know what it really comes
There's
down
two
to?
Of them now.
Like, we'll use Rory as an example. I've watched a few of the Wranglers games live. I've watched a few on TV. I don't really know what he's all about. I have an idea, but Craig Conroy, for example, pushes and pushes. This guy, I think, can help us in this area. So I feel like, because I trust Connie, that he deserves a chance. Then once he gets the opportunity in there, it's up to him. So if he comes up and he does some good things with that initial time when he's on the ice, we're going to continue to reward him. And that's no different from Matt Coronado, got sent down at the beginning of the year. We left him with a good message, came back up 2 days later, and he's not going down again. We obviously all kind of know that.
Yeah.
But that's because people believe in him to start with, and then you see him, and then are you going to take advantage of your opportunity? It's going to be there for you. If the door is open a little bit, are you willing to kick through it? And most of our guys have been willing to do that. And as you said, they don't want to go back down to the American League, and they're talented enough to stay here.
You've said a number of times you feel like, hey, you like where your team's at, you like the way they're playing, but there's another level you can get to. How do they find that next level? What's important in getting there?
For me, it comes down to the speed of the game. I think the nights where we're not quite at our best, I feel like we are a bit of a slower team, and we need to find a way to play faster game as a team in those nights. And then it comes down to the competitive side for me. There's different stages throughout the regular season where you can see the league taking a step up, like the older players start to really get going, and you can notice it. Like, LA is a great example. When they came in that first period, they took a step up that night, and for our team it was almost like, whoa, we got to learn how to play at that level and be competitive for a full 60 minutes against every team in the league. And to me, that's the next step for our guys, to understand that they're capable of doing that. It's a matter of making sure that they challenge themselves to make sure the preparation's where it needs to be ready to start games and then get ourselves to that level.
Last one, I think we asked you this the beginning of the year when you sat down with us, but now that you're well into year two as a head coach, just how much more settled in the head coach, NHL head coach skin are you? Like, even compare it to midway through last year.
Yeah, a lot more. I mean, you have a plan. You have an idea where you want to go with the team, but you still, you always kind of second guess yourself a little bit the first go round. In your heart, you know what you want to do. But when you haven't been in that seat before, it's no different than any other job. You wonder, is that the right thing to do at that time? This year, you don't really have that because you've been in some situations before, so you do feel much better about it. But I kept thinking about your question about the young guys. Young guys don't feel like they can contribute like our guys have unless they get the support from the older players. So that's one thing that really stands out for me. If a young guy comes up and he gets made to feel like you don't belong here by that older group, you lose him. And it's no different for me as a young coach. Mark Giordano was here. It's the story that always stands in my head. He could have easily been like, this guy never played in the NHL. Like, we really going to follow this guy? But Gio made sure all those defensemen were bought right in right from day one. So without that older guy that's treating people the right way, it's tough. And that's where I keep going back to the six. They're a really great group of guys.
I got to ask you, there's 430 people in this room and huge fans of your team, huge supporters of your team. You know, you're not out mingling very often as a head coach. So to be in an environment like this, does it give you a sense of what your group has done so far this season, kind of what it means to the city, what it's meant to the fan base here in Calgary?
Sure, but it's not just events like this. Like, this is a wonderful event, and I'll get to it in a second, but you get it here that people are like, we love the way the team is working this year, and the most common theme or the word that you hear all the time is the work word, and that's what people want to see all the time. When they come to the Saddle Dome, they want to see a team that's going to play with some heart, it's going to play with some passion, and they're going to work. We're going to work on all those other things to try to generate a little bit more to make sure we're an exciting team to play, but that's what they want. So you can be at a grocery store or anywhere, and you might get, hey, I really like the way the team's working. It's just a common theme. So we try to impress that upon our players, and I think they really have an understanding how important this community is to our team's success. So we love playing in front of the fans that we do have, and events like this that are put on by the Flames Foundation are really so important to our players and to the community as a whole. I think I heard it's the amount of money that they're raising by just these two events, the golf tournament, this one, is through the roof. And what the Flames Foundation does around the city of Calgary and southern Alberta, I guess you can say, is pretty remarkable.
Not to be outdone, Pat and I get a dollar every time someone says good question, so thank you very much.
$2.
Yeah,
so you get
a
loony each
today.
I feel rich. I don't get that very often. Thank you, Husk. Good luck at the table, eh?
Thank you, guys. Nice talking with you.
You as well. Ryan Huska is the head coach of the Calgary Flames, joining us here at the 18th annual Calgary Flames Ambassadors Celebrity Poker Tournament.